Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 163, recorded on October 25th, 2012. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how's it going?
Good, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I got a new iPhone.
Finally.
I know. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's good times.
What about the old jailbreak?
I'm suffering slightly right now.
Yeah.
But
they keep teasing that community, you know.
I know.
They keep teasing you guys. They're like, we might have one. We could have one.
Well, they do have one. It's just not ready.
Here's some pictures of a potential one.
Here's one that's working.
We're not going to let you have it yet.
Yeah, that's how it goes. I mean, it's better that they're showing that than nothing at all. Because if they weren't showing anything, I'd be scared that they are having a lot more trouble with it than usual.
Yeah.
Also with us, our old friend Ken Ray from the macOS Ken Show. Hey, Ken, how's it going?
Going all right. How are you?
Excellent.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yes. And Jeff Gamet is also here from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Yes, I am. Hey, and I was actually listening, so I know you're doing well, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, big news happened this week, right?
Oh, yeah?
You got married?
Close.
He got an
mini.
iPhone.
Well, yeah, I got the iPhone. That's the big news. That's what this show
is
going to be about. Apple introduced the 7.9-inch iPad mini on Tuesday, and I have no reason to have it, but I want it.
Yeah, I'm kind of there.
Because I have an iPad 2, but...
Yeah, and the iPad 2 is fine. And honestly, like, trading from an iPad 2 to an iPad mini is almost just reducing in size. I mean, the Wi-Fi is supposed to be a bit better.
Yeah.
But that's
and
it.
You get Siri.
You get Siri. That's true. It's stupid that... So basically, there's officially no reason that I can't have Siri in the iPad 2,
yeah,
right?
That is interesting.
Except Apple won't let me.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of a bummer.
So,
but yeah, I want to hold one. I'm thinking I'm going to go next weekend to the Apple store just to see it. I'm not going to get one, but I'll go check it out.
Yeah, so it's $329 for a 16-gigabyte iPad mini. It has two cameras. As we said, it's essentially an iPad 2, 1024 by 768. The iPad is a 9.7-inch screen, and, of course, the iPad 2 is 7.9. And
iPad mini.
What did I say?
iPad 2. It's fine.
Whatever. iPad mini. I guess the biggest surprise, at least for me, was the price. That it was a little higher than we all expected it should be.
Yeah, the thing we keep forgetting, though, is that we were also thinking that they were going to start with an 8-gigabyte. I mean, the price is high.
Yeah.
If they're trying to take on, whatchamacallit, if they're trying to take on the Kindle Fire, they're trying to take on the Google Nexus 7 or things like that, then the price is a bit high.
Right.
But on today's earnings call, or yesterday's earnings call, or the day before, is depending on when this comes out, they basically they took a fairly hard line on that. Look, we're making the best product that we can possibly make. We weren't looking to make a cheap iPad. We were looking to make a smaller iPad. And so we've got the A5 processor. We've got, the aluminum and the glass. And we've got what they did. And they do have better cameras than we have in our iPad 2s as well.
Oh, yes,
so, I mean,
that's true.
They're basically, what they're selling is, I mean, this is an iPad. This is not a low-cost tablet, which is what they're, of course, saying that, you know, Kindle Fire and the Nexus 7 are. This is not a low-cost tablet. This is a smaller, less expensive iPad.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, you could argue that. I think there was a really great... I was surprised because you sometimes expect Gruber to just side with Apple no matter what.
Right.
And he didn't this time. I mean, he's not against them. What he said, though, was there's a difference between a good gamble and a sure thing. 329 he feels like is a good gamble for the iPad, but you know, something lower, like 249 or maybe even 299 would have been a sure thing.
You know, I feel like 299 would have, it's interesting that they bumped it up $30 past 299.
Or maybe they dropped it down $30.
Sure, that's definitely another possibility. I believe today, DigiTimes said that according to their sources, one of the reasons why the iPad 2 is more expensive than expected was that the film sensor, I suppose the touch sensor that they're using on the iPad 2 or the iPad Mini.
I'm going to start making fun of you every time you say that.
Okay. it's harder to produce in volume, and so it's causing this increase in price.
I'm sorry, hang on a second. You're going to start making fun of him every time he accidentally says iPad 2 or every time he cites DigiTimes as a source.
Well, actually both, but I will mock him in different ways.
Well, wasn't DigiTimes the one that initially reported that we would be seeing the fourth generation iPad this year along with the third generation iPad?
No, I believe the initial one to say that was iMore. I mean, maybe DigiTimes said it, but DigiTimes said last year that we were going to get an iPad 3 in the fall. So it felt to me when DigiTimes said it, they were just sort of retreading.
Yeah, fair enough.
Don't forget a rumor that they had the year before.
Yeah. Sure.
And DigiTimes has also talked about Apple TV production. I mean, excuse me, Apple television production.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They've talked about several Mac models that never actually existed. And,
see, I find it very hard to believe that. I mean, they're not coming off 329 anytime soon. Now, let me back up. They may, if they release these things and they don't sell, if they release these things and it doesn't go well, then they may back off the 329. But the sense that I got listening to the conference call was they set their price.
Yeah.
And their price is what their price is. Now, next year, you may get last year's iPad Mini for, you know, $299 or $249 or whatever. And this year, here's the new iPad Mini with Retina display, because that price is going to come down. The cost of making Retina displays will come down. So eventually, you're going to have an iPad Mini with Retina display. Then will you be able to get the old one that costs less than the new one with Retina display? Or will they just replace the iPad Mini and make it the iPad Mini with Retina display, and that old one is lost and forgotten at this point? I think they would go ahead if they thought, well, this is going to cost us a lot more to make right now, but then it's going to even out. I think they would have gone ahead and set it at $329. I don't think going into the holidays they're going to charge $329, and then as soon as it gets easier to make, they're going to charge less. I think they're going to then be able to meet demand, and they're going to keep charging $329 at that point. And then next year, you might get last year's for less, it seems to me.
Well, you know, in terms of the adding a Retina display to the iPad Mini next year, I think it's a good idea, but it is interesting in that, okay, so it's 1024 by 768, the same resolution as the iPad 2, that has a larger physical screen. So in order to go Retina, you would assume that the DPI would have to be higher than the iPad 4 or iPad 3, simply because you don't want to have to force developers to then again tweak for a third version of the resolution. But I mean, then again, that might not be a problem, especially because the screen is smaller, to just make it slightly more dense.
I don't know. I mean, we heard the thing recently about how much bigger apps have gotten because they're having to put in assets for the different resolutions. So that might not be something they would want to push. You make a good point there.
But I can definitely see the price going down next year. I mean, like fully another year from now. I don't think they're going to pull an iPhone move like they did with the original iPhone, where they lowered it. What was it? $200?
Yeah, that was a good. That was a good week.
You know what, though? I think that there definitely is a big difference between. And, you know, the interesting thing is, and I think that this is one of the reasons they did it, was the comparison between the Nexus 7, and of course they just said other tablet, they didn't say Nexus 7. In the keynote, they made a lot of very good points in terms of you get a lot more screen real estate and other things. I guess there's no camera on the Nexus 7. You get two on the iPad Mini. You have the iPad OS, which has actual tablet applications to go along with it. And I would say most of the applications, or many of the applications for the Nexus 7, are scaled up phone apps. So, you know, the iPad experience, you get that for that cost. And that is software and hardware.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see the price coming down.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Well, okay.
You mean ever or anytime soon?
Not anytime soon.
Not anytime soon. And right. If it comes down later, well, okay. So Apple priced the iPad mini where it is for multiple reasons, I'm sure. One, mm-hmm. It's based on costs and margins. And then two, I said many, and I'm giving you two reasons. Go me. And then two, it has to fall at a price point between the iPod Touch and the full-size iPad.
Sure.
So if you have a previous version of the iPad mini available, what price point does it go at? Because if you drop it down to $299, that's what an iPod Touch costs.
Right. Yeah, that is definitely another reason.
I haven't really bought that, though. It seems to me that you could even charge the same price for those two devices because they're for two different things. It seems to me, either that or you go ahead and let the iPad Mini eat the iPad iPod Touch,
which is an option too. And yeah. I don't know. It just seems like having an older iPad Mini around at a lower price point gets very messy with Apple's product.
Well, you know, you could take it a different way and look at it like this. The iPod Touch, hey, look, the new iPod Touch, it has a bigger screen, it's really cool, it's really thin, but for $30 more, you can get a full iPad. Well, an iPad mini, but it's an iPad. Mm-hmm. Only $30 more. And yeah, there's the size trade-off, but for a lot of people who don't care so much about the music storage capability or just the storage capability in general, they're preferring something that's more of a gaming / web surfing / webs. What did I say? And I lost my train of thought. You get the idea. They would want to get book reading. Sorry. They would want maybe an iPad instead.
But you hit the nail on the head, though, too. Is that is a different experience than the music experience you get
exactly.
with the iPod. So, I mean, you have to have both. Both are going to be around for a while. Apple's going to sell way more minis in the future than they are iPods. But I think just like we have the iPod Classic, the iPod Touch is just going to be something that's there, existing for quite a while. I don't see it being supplanted by the iPad Mini anytime soon.
Sure.
There was an interesting piece in, I want to get your take on this, all of you, actually. There was an interesting piece in CNET that had KGI analyst Ming-Chi Kuo saying that he thinks this is the end of the line for the iPod Touch. Not that they're going to quit selling them, but that they're done developing them, that they're done putting a lot of R&D into it. And the thing that I'm wondering is, how much R&D are they putting into it now? Because
right.
It seems to sort of be following along with the iPhone. So it's not like if they, you know, improve the screen on the iPhone, they're just going to say, but we're going to leave the iPod Touch as it is, unless they really are trying to push people towards the iPad Mini. But, I mean, we're not seeing anything wildly different with the iPod Touch, are we? We're kind of at this point seeing it follow along with the iPhone.
Well, yeah.
Now we are. I mean, with this yeah. last release, they really brought it in line. So I would agree wholeheartedly with that. I think that it's going to be, you know, one of these things that just gets updated along with the iPhone. But I would also agree with the assessment that they're not going to do a ton of stuff just specifically for, like, developing a new iPod Touch design.
Right.
I think this is the design. You know, they might change the colors. They might do little funky things. But the form factor, all those sorts of things, I don't think are going to change. And, you know, probably a big reason why they've standardized on, you know, things like the Lightning connector and stuff like that. Right? You know, we've had the dock connector for how many years now? 10?
Has it been yeah, 10, that's 8? About right.
Is that right? Yeah. So I think we're going to be another 10 years with that sort of thing. So I think Apple is definitely thinking about that. And so I would say yes, totally on that assessment.
All right.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't think that means that they're going to stop having a lot of people wanting to buy the iPod Touch. I think the iPod Touch is almost in a category of its own. For the people who get them, they love them and they buy a lot of them. I think right now it's so thin that they can't even have an ambient light sensor in it. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, it seems like most of the development that they've done with it, aside from just kind of tweaking what the case looks like, it has essentially mirrored the iPhone, and in that even that they've made it continuously thinner. But right now, I would say it's as thin as it can get. So I don't think there would be too much that they would do with it. I think that maybe if the iPhone changed in dimensions again, I feel that the iPod Touch has mirrored, again, from the software standpoint, has mirrored what the iPhone does in almost all respects to make it easy for developers. So if you want the iPhone, most of the iPhone features in the applications, but you don't want to get an iPhone for whatever reason, people go for an iPod Touch.
You know,
and again, you can say go with the iPad Mini now, but it is a little bit more expensive, maybe a moot point, but more so you can keep the iPod Touch with you and it is the music player.
You know, if I had kids and I wanted to buy an iOS device for them, and I'm talking like grade school age so younger kids, I'd end up getting them an iPod Touch instead of an iPad Mini, even though there's only a $30 price difference. But it just seems like a better choice because it fits in their smaller hands better.
Mm-hmm.
It has the wrist strap, so they're less likely to drop it, and it makes for an easy and very portable gaming system.
Yeah, but you've got the chance of them actually learning on an iPod Mini or iPad Mini more than you do on an iPod Touch.
Well, Ken, I would tend to agree with you on the iPad being something that's more apt for educational type apps along with the games and stuff like that. And Jeff, I think the iPad Mini is probably better as a gaming platform because of the screen size. So it's interesting because while I just said what I said about, you know, the iPod Touch not going away, I don't think it will. But now I'm thinking, well, what are the storage sizes in the iPod Nanos right now? And could they kind of gave it more of a touch interface in this iteration. So could the Touch and the Nano sort of merge and the Nano just becomes the music player thing that fits in your pocket? And then if you want to do gaming and books and media and all that other stuff, we've got this iPad Mini. So
you
under
know,
that, guys, I might buy it a little bit, but I don't. It makes sense. I don't think Apple's going to do it, I guess is what I want to say.
I don't see the iPod Touch going away anytime soon, for sure. Yeah. Again, I think it goes back to people who want to have the experience of the many myriad of applications that you have available for the iPhone, but you don't want the commitment or phone part of the iPhone. You just want the pocket-sized great device that you can get with an iPod Touch. And there's a myriad reasons why you would want that. Either, you know, you're a kid who doesn't pay for his own cell phone bill and you just want to get an iPod Touch because you want something that always has a great camera on it. You want something with a huge screen. You want to be able to do social media and have Wi-Fi and all the great stuff. You just don't want to do phone stuff. So I think that the iPod Touch really fills a great need for a lot of people. So I don't see it going away anytime soon.
You know what would be awesome and
or
is never ever going to happen is if Apple can somehow at some point convince the cell carriers to offer data-only plans for an iPhone like they do for the iPad. And then this issue goes away because you can just sell the iPhone. And if you want cellular, you buy a cellular a plan with cellular and data. If you just want data, you just get data.
But then
again, the caveat, that's never going to happen with the carriers. But I mean, because everybody ultimately wants 4G on their iPod Touch. And you talk to people who have iPod Touches, and they're like, oh, if it only had 4G, it would be the most awesome device.
Sure, but then you'd have right, to spend another $130 to get the 3G radios in there.
Sure, but it'll be carrier subsidized, and so
Carrier subsidized. So well, right. Then you'd have
so
a
you're
contract.
Paying the iPhone price and getting a 2-year contract and data, yeah, but you're just not doing cellular.
That'd be interesting. You know, I could see.
Again, the carriers aren't going to do it. This is a pie in the sky thing. It's not going to happen. But if it did, that would make the iPod Touch go away, because then Apple can just sell the one device that is in essence that with data.
Yeah.
I'd rather see Apple work on coming up with a way for me to make phone calls. I thought I thought the whole thing that they announced at the Tuesday event was kind of interesting. Something like 28,000 messages being sent through iMessage every second.
Yeah.
At this point, how much money did that used to make for the carriers? And it's only been about a year, maybe a little bit more. Now, most of that's going between, because they still haven't made messages an industry standard. Or no, that was FaceTime that was going to be an industry standard. They still haven't made messages right. The kind of standard that they want it to be. But if they could find a way to do that with their many data centers and with the wireless that I've already got, and then if I have to buy something that will, you know, get me 3G or 4G coverage when I need it, I'd be much happier with that.
Well, I think
and on the one hand, you kind of think, well, there's no way Apple's going to do that because they're not going to, you know, bite the hand that feeds them. But I mean, the carriers have had no problem biting the hand that feeds them, Apple, for quite some time.
Well, I think one of the big things that Apple has going with not only iMessages, but just iCloud in general, is they want it to be a sort of lock-in solution for them. They want it to be you're in the Apple ecosystem with this. And while it would be awesome to have the ability to iMessage someone on their Samsung whatever phone or Android phone, I just don't see Apple ever wanting to do it. And I think there was only one situation where Apple felt there was so much more to gain to go over to the other side, and that was iTunes on Windows. I don't think they're ever going to do that again. And I think that even Steve Jobs said that in his in the Walter Isaacson book, that was just the only time that they really thought that was necessary. And he said that that probably would never happen again. But of course, on the other hand, we're now in the Tim Cook era, so it could happen.
Well, and Steve Jobs also said they wouldn't do a 7-inch tablet. That was lovely parsing. That
oh,
was
it's 7.9, Ken. It's not 7
I know.
Inch.
That was fantastic. So you heard the call. Did you hear the call today?
No, oh, yeah. I didn't listen.
Where they made a point to let everyone know we're still
yeah, he said that.
A 7-inch tablet.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
So what's the deal? Because you said you wouldn't make a smaller tablet. Now you did. And Tim Cook was like, we said we would never make a 7-inch tablet. And let's be clear, we will never make a 7-inch tablet. This is 7.9 inches.
Exactly.
And it's like, really? Really? Yeah, but you know, and
technically,
then he went ahead.
That's right.
Yeah, and then he went ahead and said, and that gives you 35% more screen space and 56% more usable space, supposedly. I don't know how that math works. But, I mean, even just saying it gives you 35% more screen space, I mean, then there actually is a big difference between a 7-inch tablet and a 7.9-inch tablet.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Anyway, the one thing I don't understand, though, you're saying that Jobs said that they would never do that again, but Jobs also introduced FaceTime as something that they were hoping to have become an industry standard within the next year. Now, of course, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're still working on it or if it hasn't happened yet or if it's never going to happen. I mean, part of the problem is nobody else is going to want to give Apple that sort of entryway, right? I mean, you had Nokia arguing over whether or not the micro SIM or the nano SIM, whatever it is we now have in the iPhone 5, could be the standard because they just didn't want to give Apple that much more control.
Yeah, I feel like that would definitely be one of the biggest reasons why that hasn't happened with other phones.
Right. At the same time, though, if Apple, I mean, and I've wanted Apple to be an MVNO for a very long time. So, I mean, part of this may just be colored by the fact that that's something that I've wanted for quite a while. If Apple could find a way for me to make a phone call, though, I'd spend more money on their device. I know I wouldn't have the carrier subsidy at that point, and that would be fine with me because I also wouldn't have the monthly bill.
You're talking
commitment.
You're talking have like a VoIP style thing, a la iMessage.
Well, the problem is I'm not the guy sitting in the secret room in Cupertino, so I can't say what I'm talking about exactly. It's just when I look at everything they're doing, I find it hard to believe that they're going to want to keep differentiating between devices for forever. I think they want me to be able to do everything that I can do at home, in the car, at the coffee shop, all of these different places.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably distasteful. I know it was distasteful to Jobs. I don't know that, but I feel fairly certain it was distasteful to Jobs that I had to deal with AT&T. It's probably even more distasteful that he had to deal with AT&T. But I think it was probably distasteful to Jobs that I have to deal with AT&T or Verizon or Sprint or, sure, you know, SoftBank or, you know, Cricket, for God's sake. I mean, there are so many things that are inelegant about having that third party there. I gotta feel like at the very least Jobs would have wanted to have the whole thing. I mean, look, I mean, they like to do everything from soup to nuts, right?
Right.
There's no way that the ghost of Steve Jobs is like, but I feel good about the carriers. I mean, never mind, yeah, the fact that the carriers, you know, bend over the spirit of Steve Jobs every chance they get and say, what we're really looking for is a third or fourth phone that would also do well. 6.1 million smartphones sold by AT&T last quarter. 4.7 million of those were iPhones. How do you have the gall? How do you have the audacity to say that we're suffering working with Apple? Because I'm in forever. It's like the iOS lock-in. I'm in forever with AT&T. Because yeah, guess what? I'm not going to Sprint or Verizon because I like to be able to do both voice and data at the same time. So the next time AT&T has anything even remotely bad to say about Apple, they should think about the fact that they are within a hair's breadth of number one right now because of Apple. And then they should also stop and think the only reason we have the smartphone ecosystem that we have at this point is because of Apple. Don't talk to me about how you've suffered working with this company because they brought the future, the one that you used to advertise about in 1996, saying, ooh, one day you'll be able to talk to people without making a phone call. Guess what? Asshat. I can do that.
Yeah, you nailed it, Ken.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is very frustrating to listen to AT&T complain about just how bad they have it when we are all willingly handing over buckets of money to them every month. And many of us, when the original iPhone came out,
yeah,
we paid good money to break contracts with other carriers to go to AT&T, knowing full well all of the horrible stories of customer service people had been dealing with. And we all went, yep, whatever, we're in. Yeah. And we're still here.
And paid full bore for our first iPhones, too.
That's right. And we paid full price. iPhone,
$30 a month for unlimited data when there was next to nothing to do with
unlimited.
Yeah. Our one choice was to pay unlimited data. And now they bitch about the people that still want to pay for the unlimited data. Well, I mean, there were a number of years where I got almost nothing from that. Because still, when I was at home, I was on Wi-Fi. And surprise, surprise, I was either at home or at work. or at the coffee shop where I had Wi-Fi.
Yeah, if you needed to look something up on your iPhone, you didn't do it in the car unless you drove the car over to Starbucks and sat in the parking lot and did it there.
Mm-hmm. I have many experiences doing that.
But God bless AT&T. Thank you very much for what we do have. I think at some point, I keep looking to the future at this point. I keep looking to the part where I'm not, you know, I don't have to decide between carriers and I don't have to sign a contract. And Apple's not going to do that out of the goodness of their heart. They're going to do it because they're going to have a way to make money off of it, too. And if I have to pay Apple $30 a month instead of the ungodly amount of money that I'm paying Sprint, Verizon, or AT&T, of course I will. And if I have to pay Apple $50 a month to do that, I will. And if that means I still have to occasionally get like a per month, you know, data thing with AT&T or Verizon, okay, I'll be fine to pay them that occasionally. But I would so much rather, you know, I'd rather they find a really cool way to do it. And then just everywhere I am, there's all that stuff.
Well, I think the biggest...
Do I have my phone or do I have my iPad or do I have my computer? How about just when I'm near any of my stuff, like I'm near all of my stuff?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest hurdle, of course, is the infrastructure that these three or four companies have that pretty much nobody else has, and that if one of those companies want to use the infrastructure that one of the others has, they have to pay for it additionally. So Apple would either have to piggyback off of them and come up with an awesome deal that would work for us. And of course, the carriers are already in a position where they know that what Apple would be doing in that sort of situation would be enabling us to get off of their services and stop paying them buckets of money. It would be very difficult for Apple to negotiate that sort of deal. And then on the other hand, if they didn't want to do that, they'd have to somehow come up with all this infrastructure that would make it an Apple experience for someone to own one of these devices where it's where they're paying Apple for the access to the internet wherever they are or in most places where you would expect to have data. So it's a big challenge.
But why doesn't Apple buy? I still don't understand. Whatever. I'm sorry. You've got so many other things you want to talk about too. The quickest way to that to me is to buy T-Mobile.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gets out of their core competency, and I hate that idea. But I mean, if you get T-Mobile, there are places that T-Mobile is stronger than the other carriers, and so they won't want to lose coverage in those places. I mean, they have that whole handshake thing that you can basically do now across the country with every carrier, right? Mm-hmm. If I've got a T-Mobile phone and I'm someplace where there isn't T-Mobile coverage, I still get coverage and I don't have to pay anything extra because they've all made the deal so that I don't have roaming charges anymore. I mean, are suddenly Verizon and AT&T going to want to kill those deals knowing that they also – I don't think they want to have the same kind of relationship that Apple has with Samsung at this point.
No.
I love listening to Tim Cook here say Samsung.
Samsung.
Yeah.
They couldn't. I don't think they could even kill those deals if that happened. I don't think Apple has any interest in getting into the cell phone business. But, you know, the U.S. government's not going to let them kill those deals.
Yeah,
right.
I have an interest in Apple getting into the cell phone business. Is that or the cell carrier business? Does that
me too
count for anything?
Oh, okay. No, I fully agree with you. It would be rockin' awesome. I don't want them to do it, and I don't think they will do it. But
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
I don't think it'd be good for their business. I think it'd be really messy.
Yes. All right. So,
well, yes.
Moving on to something more happy. We got new Lightning connectors.
Did you guys new see Lightning that? Connectors?
New Lightning adapters.
Oh, adapters, yes.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
VGA Finally. And HDMI, as we had with the 30-pin dot connector, they're... Are they shipping those now? Or they're, it looks like they're in the store.
They're available in the Apple store now, yeah, for, I think, $49 each.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
Is that what they were
Apple
last
TV.
Time? Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Were they that... I guess they were that expensive...
before, yeah.
Before. And then, so they're also offering the USB and SD card reader dongles as well.
Now, are those separate? Those are separate adapters. You have to buy them separately, and they're $29 each now? Because before you'd pay the $29 and you got both.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the VGA adapter was a lot less expensive. Like I think that was like $29, not $50.
No, yeah, you're right. The HDMI one was the expensive one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, $50 for a Lightning to VGA adapter. What are you going to do with that?
Who's going to use VGA anymore?
People who have old projectors.
Yeah, if you're doing lots of presentations, you're going to end up having to pop for the $50 because...
Right.
You just have to do it.
Yeah.
My solution for that now, and I don't think I'll do anything else ever again, is I use my MacBook Air and I connect it to the projector and I use the Reflection app.
Oh, perfect.
Which is cheaper than an adapter.
Well.
If you already have a MacBook Air.
Take the price of the MacBook Air out of it, sure.
Well, okay. You're using equipment you already have.
Exactly.
Sure,
exactly.
Yeah.
So well,
and it,
sense,
it just works better and it allows you to go around the room. You know, have you ever used the dongles on your iOS devices, they're really awkward. The cable's kind of stiff, and then you've got the big, VGA cable hanging off of it. It's like pulls the whole thing down. You can't set it on a table safely because it'll drag it right off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, it never works very well.
This is why I love having an Apple TV.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what Apple's saying with this. You know, they're saying most people are going to use, the Wi-Fi to do this stuff, to do these transfers, to do the... to do the AirPlay stuff, and more that's going to become the case, and they're going to sell less and less of these cables. So I think the pricing is a direct reflection of that. It's, I think they're not going to, they don't feel that they're going to sell as many of these as they used to in the past.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I didn't buy one. Now, do you think that the camera connection dongles, you think those are going to still be popular? Were they ever popular? I think, Jeff, you had one, right?
I like mine.
I really like mine.
I will probably get at least the USB one. I like having the SD card, but again, with PhotoStream now, it's almost a non-issue because any picture I take on my device is on my Mac automatically. The USB one, though, for I'm assuming I can still plug in microphones and stuff like that. So,
yeah, that would be nice.
Although somebody just came out, I just saw somebody just came out with a really nice, well, I guess you still have to plug it in USB. So there is an adapter for plugging in like XLR mics and getting phantom power and stuff like that. But again, that's a real edge use case for someone like me who's a podcaster and wants to actually record with GarageBand on the iPad.
So what do you guys think about the fact that Apple killed off the iPad 3 and introduced an iPad 4 and what was it? 6 months? 8 months?
No, everybody keeps... It's...
3 months?
Seven.
Seven plus.
Okay.
You know, if you go from the actual date they actually shipped and came out versus announced,
yeah, it's,
right?
It's close to 8 months.
Yeah. But it's still way off their... what the schedule has been, and sure, it was in the same calendar year, and there are definitely some people who went out and bought an iPad 3, and now they're saying, wait, there's a new iPad already. And of course those people can go to the Apple store, and if they bought it within 30 days, they'll have no problem exchanging it for you, which is nice of them. But I wonder what that says about Apple's plans for next year. Are they, I don't think they're going to announce something.
That's the question.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to announce something in the typical iPad announcement time frame next year, because that would be crazy.
I don't think they won't announce an iPad in that typical time frame.
Sure.
It wouldn't surprise me if we saw a minor upgrade to the iPad mini in the spring.
Go ahead.
Not like a whole revamp. Not as dramatic as a change between the third and fourth generation iPads, which, granted, isn't a huge dramatic change. But I'm thinking like a processor speed bump, and maybe by that point they'll be ready to throw the Retina display in. Who knows? But
Oh God, they'd be in so much trouble if they did that.
Yeah, you're right. They would. So that would happen.
But you think people are angry about this processor lightning connector upgrade in the 4? Everybody who buys an iPad Mini in November, and then we've got a Retina one in February.
Oh yeah.
Now, what I thought was going to happen with the full size iPad was that they would announce the iPad Mini and all the features that it has, and as part of the transition into lightning across the board, then they would say in passing, oh, by the way, new change for the full-size iPad, it has the lightning connector now. And that was going to be it. I wasn't expecting the new processor.
Yeah, that was surprising.
That was definitely a surprise.
Well, I think one of the reasons they moved to the better processor is when they did the A5X in the Retina display, they essentially just did something that would allow for the device to power the Retina display. It wasn't as much a speed bump as one would expect from a new rev of the device. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. You didn't get the performance bump because all of that extra processor, both in the graphics and on the CPU side, were being taken up by just driving the pixels on the display.
Right, which would be another reason why
it actually got slower, I think, a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you look at the benchmark scores.
Huh.
Just a hair. I mean, not noticeable.
Sure, sure,
To any real people.
Well, but that's another... people. To people who don't care
person,
as much
the
as
person
us.
Who's not, right, you know, comparing 2 points on a Geekbench score.
Right. If you know what benchmark means, then chances are it
then yeah. you're not real people, just like exactly. us.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You're those pod people.
So then, all right, there were two things that I thought about it. The iPhone, the iPad 4, which I know they're not calling it, but the iPad 4. When they announced the original iPad in the early part of 2010, and then we didn't get another iPad until the early part of 2011, I was actually kind of bummed. And I mentioned this. I don't remember if it was on day six or if it was on, it might have been on this show. I don't know. It kind of bummed me out because it sort of took the iPad from being a computer or a computing alternative to a gadget. And so once a year, we're going to update it. And then when we're done, we're done. Which is very different than, you know, the Mac and other PCs. If there's a new, you know, we waited all year for the Ivy Bridge processor and a number of Macs because we knew there was a new processor. And so as soon as there is the technology to make it better, Apple goes ahead and makes it better. And they don't say, I mean, it's not uncommon. Or
we lost you, Ken.
So there? A revision, whatever you want to call it, of a computer in the first quarter of the year, and then have it again, you know, in the last quarter of the year, calendar year, because new processors come out. And so, okay, man, it's time to move it along because now it's better. So my first thought when they introduced the iPad 4 yesterday, or earlier this week rather, was, okay, good. We're going to take this out of being the gadget thing. We're going to take this out of being the, well, time for the new iPad, and put it more into, you know, when there is better blank to go into it, we'll go ahead and put that in and we'll release it. And we'll take the numbering convention off of it, as they already did, because now it's just going to be the latest right. iPad has the latest stuff to make the iPad the best thing it can be.
Right.
That's one possibility. The other possibility is they're opening up March for the television. Or for playing in the Apple TV / television area. There was a really fascinating, if you listen to the Q&A on the conference call or the earnings call today, somebody, and I can't remember who, one of the analysts in the Q&A though asked, okay, so now you've got the iPad mini. That's great. You ever thought about going bigger? And my immediate thought was, you're an idiot. And then like 10 seconds later, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Because if you go big enough to put it on a wall, what's the difference between a television and an iPad at that point? You're not going to walk up to the wall and touch it, but now I've got either an iPad mini as my control surface or an iPod Touch or an iPhone or a full-sized iPad, and that's still my control surface. And, I mean, maybe that's how they do that whole home thing. It feels like next year has to be like a whole new concentration, and the only two things I can think of are either the home or the car. And it doesn't feel like it's going to be the car because not as many people have cars, especially in the big cities that they love. I mean, they love serving New York and San Francisco, and a lot of people in New York and San Francisco don't drive, right? So you're not covering as many people. Suddenly you have to worry about the flyover states, and Apple doesn't care about the flyover states. They're happy for people to eventually get their stuff there, but that's not who they're serving. They're serving New York, LA, Chicago, San Francisco, Houston, right? Top 10 markets. It seems to me that's really what they're aiming towards. I mean, they're very much a metropolitan company, even though they are selling across the country at this point.
Well, yeah, it
London's,
is
London and
yeah. So we don't want to leave Berlin anybody out. And, but right. it is it interesting.
Feels, it feels to me like they cleared off the iOS. I mean, and they talked about this on the conference call today too, or yesterday, or whenever. They've never released as many products at one time as they did right now.
Right. Yeah.
Why are they clearing the deck right now?
That is interesting because I not think, only was it iOS devices, it's Macs too. All of them.
Tim promised a Mac Pro, remember?
No, except for
I was going to say the only thing that was left alone was the Mac Pro.
So if it has a jetpack,
Tim already said 2013 for that.
Yeah, well, exactly. So maybe that's it must be a really huge Mac Pro update we get.
Yeah.
That's an awesome idea. This is the truck you've been waiting for.
Yeah. Just like Ken said, they're going to focus on the car and you can drive your new Mac Pro.
I really don't think it's the car. And I know I'm probably silly thinking it's the TV, but it feels like there's got to be a whole new thing happening next year.
They didn't talk. I mean, they didn't talk about the Apple TV at either of these last two events.
That's true.
Which you would think they might.
No, they didn't. The only time they talked about the Apple TV was today. They sold 5 million of them this year, is what they said. They're still selling more of them. It's still a hobby. It still doesn't make them that much money, but they're going to keep pulling the string.
So when did they release the Apple TV 3? Was that at the beginning of the year with the iPad 3?
No, that was last fall, wasn't it? It was a year after iPad 2, or Apple TV 2, excuse me.
Was it last fall?
I believe so.
Wow.
I think you're right.
So, yeah, I mean, if...
Because I remember thinking, son of a bitch, I just bought one a year ago.
I'm firing up. Same as the tracker.
Same as the people who buy the Apple TV and, you know, I mean the iPad and the iPhone and all that stuff every year. Not
you
that
and
I bought.
I, Jeff.
Yeah, it is interesting. That does add to the speculation of a TV-related announcement next year.
So did we ever address the fact, is anybody mad about the iPad fourth generation? Or iPad with Retina display, I guess is the new name for the new
yeah,
iPad.
Yeah.
Well, who here has an iPad 3?
I do.
Oh, so are you mad?
Not at all.
Because I have an iPad 2.
Yeah, you're probably thrilled.
I don't really care because my iPad 2 is still fine. Eventually, when I get one, I'll have the best one. But right now, I don't care. I did put out the question to a lot of my listeners, and this is sort of awful. I hate to be classist about it, but I don't think I'm being classist. There were people who wrote to me with either had doctor in front of their name or had PhD behind their name, and they're not upset.
Sure.
I had other people who wrote to me who said, so we've got two for the house. My wife and I have one, and all of a sudden, the one that we have is outdated, and they don't have any sort of, you know. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not well off. Maybe they are well off, and
they
just
have two iPads.
They might have spent more money. right. I mean, there were people who wrote in and said, "No, I think it's perfectly healthy and fine." But they, you know, it was Dr. somebody who wrote to me that way, so he may have a little bit more money to spend on another iPad than, you know, somebody else who maybe scrimped and saved for it.
And this is, I'm hoping that this sort of change, and I alluded to this when we did Mac Roundtable, that I think that Apple is moving, especially with the iOS devices, to this point where they're really going to rev them when they want to rev them. There's not going to be any set cycle. And when they have new processors or they have better display technology and the cost in production and manufacturing makes sense, I think they're just going to roll them out, and you will buy whatever the best one. You hit the nail on the head, Ken. You're going to buy whatever the best one is that's available the day you decide you're going to buy an iPad, and that's what you get, and that's just going to be the way it is. Well, and the other point that you made that is really good is that the iPad 2 is still a very capable iPad, and the iPad third generation is not suddenly obsolete on November 2nd, and the fourth generation one is going to be awesome. But
yeah,
I don't know.
The only problems are you've trained people to do a certain thing.
Exactly.
I mean, I love
you've trained nerds, right?
Well, no,
but you've trained everybody.
I think it's beyond nerds at this point. Honestly, I mean, when you have Tim Cook and Peter Oppenheimer saying on conference calls that the reason we didn't sell as many iPhones this past quarter, which is total crap because they sold a ton, but not this quarter, but the one before, the reason that they missed what the analysts had expected was because general public is now starting to pick up on when the Apple product cycles are. So you really threw people for a loop this time.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends and family who have iPads, and the only ones who have said anything to me are the friends in my nerd circle. So
yeah.
I don't know. None of the casual people that, you know, I know have iPads have said, oh, hey, what about this new iPad 4?
Only
the geeky folks have.
I think that a lot more people are going to pick up on it as time goes on. I mean, like talking about a couple of weeks here when it circulates a little bit more via news and just person to person type stuff. I do hear a lot more about it, and I do have friends who aren't constantly looking at the Apple blogs and who are would say they are nerdy. I think that it is an issue of managing expectations. If Apple does want to move more toward it, at least with the iPad, if not with more of their stuff, from doing at least having 1 year between the cycles of new devices to shortening that to whenever it makes sense for them to do it. Because right now the expectation is, well, I just bought the new iPad. It's going to be at least a year before there's going to be another one. Or I bought an iPad six months after they announced the new iPad. It's cool. You know, it's going to be another 6 months before there's going to be another iPad out there. So the expectation would have to change. And I feel that having them do it whenever they want, it'd be interesting to see how far they would move back and forth between having a year and less than a year or more than a year in between.
That's what
those
all their competitors
cycles.
Do. You know, when
they just throw it out there whenever.
It is a case of damned if you do, damned if you don't, because Apple gets a lot of flack for not updating also in certain circles.
Sure.
Where, hey, there's new Intel processors out or there's new ARM processors out. Why doesn't the iPad have a new processor? The Kindle got updated. The Nexus 7 got updated. That, you know, so.
It seems to me the only device that you would have trouble doing that with is the iPhone, because we're locked into a 2-year contract. Or because we're locked into a certain amount of time. And you can say, well, Samsung does it, or, you know, Google right. does it, but you end up with a lot of people that actually do get kind of cheesed or hosed or hacked on that, because
sure.
you can't just buy a new phone the way you can just buy a new iPad, or the way you can just buy a new Kindle Fire, or the way you can just buy a new Nexus, whatever.
Yeah. But the bottom right? line is it doesn't stop sales. So
say again.
That's true.
The bottom line is it doesn't stop sales of those devices. Yes, people get cheesed all the time, and then they begrudgingly buy them, or they buy out of their contract, or talk to people who, you know, in the Android community about what they do, and the real geeky nerd guys just suck it up and do it, which means they're still selling phones and they're making lots of money.
Yeah.
Oh, I know people don't like to think about it as a company.
They just buy whatever's available when they buy it.
Yeah.
I can't see that happening with the iPhone. And only because they're beholden to other companies and they can't, because I mean I don't think I can't see that happening with the iPhone. I'm not saying it couldn't. I just can't see it. Yeah. But then for the iPad and everything else, totally.
I think their behavior ultimately. I mean, the reason we're all talking about this, right, is because their behavior this time around, they have totally shifted everything, and they gave us this deluge of a million products in about a month. And it does really have my head spinning as to what the heck are they up to. And,
yeah.
and you know, also what's it going to do for this nice cycle where they could sort of spread out the revenue coming in from these different arenas. And now they've sort of dumped everything at once right here before the end of the year. I'm really curious what happens in 2013. Is this the new norm, or is this a reset, or I really don't know what they're doing.
Or did it just happen to work out this once?
Yeah. Is it just a one-time thing? Is it an anomaly, and we'll go back to some semblance of normality?
No, they gotta have something. Yeah. They gotta have something for the spring. Gotta have something for the spring.
I agree.
There are two things that it does. It does clear off the possibility of something for the spring. But the other thing it does is it gives them a banner Christmas.
Right.
I mean, you're not. I mean, what do you need? Apple's got a new one.
Right.
You know, yeah, or what are you looking for? Apple's got a new one. Yeah. Unless what you need is a Mac Pro, in which case you're still out of luck.
Right. The one thing that concerns me about what they've done both across the Mac line and across the iOS line is I was trying to prep my show and sort of work out all the differences and the price differences and which devices for which person, it's getting really crowded again on their SKU sheet.
Yeah.
It seems like there needs to be a thinning again at some point. Otherwise, they're getting dangerously close to moving
to
back
going
into
Scully.
Performa territory. Yeah, exactly. I don't relish that. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of overlap, especially on the Mac side. And I know we don't talk about Macs very much on this show, but I don't know. I hate to come to this, you know, Steve's gone, what's going on thing, but
well,
there's a lot of product SKUs right now.
Yeah, well, I think that the biggest example of that on the Mac side is the difference between the Retina MacBook Pros and the MacBook Pros. Right?
And the Airs. I mean, put them side by side and start speccing them out and start looking at the prices. And if you spec them out comparably and there's very little variance between the different models, it really comes down to...
Aren't there two Airs? The 13 and 11?
Yeah, 11 and 13.
Yeah, so you can take a 13 Air, a 13-inch non-Retina MacBook Pro, and a 13-inch Retina MacBook Pro, and, you know, custom build spec them very close to each other, and it's sort of like, whoa, you know, the difference becomes how you're going to use it and where you're going to use it and those sorts of things, not so much the specs or the price as much.
Yeah.
Are we right, though, or am I right? I shouldn't say we. Am I right, though, in assuming that once Retina displays get cheaper to make, then, I mean, there won't be any such thing
as
a difference
Retina.
Between the two.
So.
Right.
And I think we're actually in a product transition phase right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So we have the messy product lineup, but once Apple can get the Retina display prices where they need them, then the I'll call that the traditional MacBook Pro with a non-Retina display and built-in optical drive, that'll go away.
Yeah, I might. So, and I think we might see that in 2013. I think 2013 might be about sort of rebuilding the product line and resimplifying a lot of those models.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So, Ken, we should talk about one of the things that you get very excited about, which is the idea of Apple offering a subscription-based music service.
Why?
Well, Bloomberg put out a report saying...
Sure, because it's almost Christmas.
That's true.
Don't we get this?
It's essentially the same thing. Yeah, it's essentially the same thing that we've been hearing. But that you know, we're looking toward they're expecting a first quarter of next year announcement of their online music service.
Whatever. I don't get excited anymore. I'm like I have Spotify now. I'm very happy with Spotify.
I'm with you on that one, to be honest.
Yeah. Spotify, even though Rhapsody had a little bit more music, there's just something about Spotify that makes it more palatable to me. And maybe it's the fact that it was $10 and I got mobile and my desktop, as opposed to with Rhapsody, I think it was, with Rhapsody, it was $10 and I got one mobile device. And if I wanted more than one mobile device, then it was $15. But, you know, I have an iPhone and I have an iPad. I'm not going to spend $5 extra to listen to stuff on my iPad or listen to stuff on my iPhone, having to choose one or the other. And you could switch back and forth between the two, but you actually had to go online into your account settings and basically disable whichever the last iOS device you used on Rhapsody so that you could enable whatever the next one was. And once I read on Spotify, I think you can have three portable devices plus your laptop. So that was it. There's my $10. And I like their social stuff too.
When are these guys going to figure out people are going to either steal music or they're not going to steal music? It's not about the technology and the obstacles you put in the way.
Well, I don't think that was about stealing or not stealing. I think that was about, you know, oh, for $10, you can take your music with you. Or for $15, you can take it with you anywhere. And sort of like, well, or Spotify says for $10, you can take your music with you anywhere. So, you know, I went with them. And I mean, I do also like, as much as I don't like the fact that it has to tie into Facebook, I do like, I mean, I've got friends who are subscribed to a couple of my playlists, and I'm subscribed to a couple of friends' playlists, and it's neat for me to see what friends I haven't talked to and, you know, what they're listening to. But there's something fun about that, even though I always thought it was kind of silly how everything had a social tie.
Yeah.
With Spotify, it works in a way that it didn't work with, what was that company that did that thing? I can't remember. Rhymed with thing. I can't remember what that was.
Oh, Bling.
Yeah.
No.
Something like that. Bling. That's nice. I like that. So, I mean, and how many years? I mean, as you said, it's something I like to get excited about. They broke me. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They finally broke me on that. So if Apple does one, I'll probably end up giving them my money, but I just can't get excited about it anymore because I've been heartbroken too many times.
Well, and you're also being satisfied with Spotify.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a great service.
Yeah, I've totally enjoyed Spotify. Yeah, for me, it was one of those situations where they said, you get 30 days to try it out on your iPhone, you know, full access to the entire service. Just give us your credit card and then it'll be one of those, you know, we'll roll you over to your paying for it. In the next month. And I figured, okay, I'll totally just cancel it before it gets in the next month. And I didn't. And I realized, okay, now I'm paying for it. And I started using it. And now I love it.
Yeah.
No, it totally worked.
Yeah.
On Spotify, because it does that thing too, if you have it turned on, where you can see the last time they used it. And I've got friends who like haven't used it in like 2 months. And I don't get it. Because it's where I go for music now. I mean, it automatically, even if I own it, even if I've got the music that I'm going to Spotify for, I'm going to Spotify for it now more than iTunes.
Yeah. It's tough. It's a really weird thing because a lot of times I do the same thing. And I think not so much anymore because, with iOS 6, iTunes Match works better. You can actually stream. But then again, I mean, if you do a side-by-side comparison, Spotify will start playing that music much more quickly than iTunes Match over streaming either way. So Spotify has been a much better experience for me. And did you ever look at Ardio?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I had a couple of friends who told me I should check out Ardio, and I did. And honestly, it didn't seem to offer me anything that Spotify wasn't offering me. And I guess I just enjoyed the interface in Spotify more.
The other reason I haven't been excited about any of the Apple Music service stories lately is because it seems like everything seems to concentrate on they're coming up with a Pandora killer. And I'm not a person who really uses Pandora that often because...
it doesn't play the music you want?
Right, not when I want it.
Right.
Like if I set up a Smiths playlist or set up a Smiths radio station, and they'll play me a bunch of stuff that they think sounds like the Smiths. Well, it turns out I don't want to hear stuff that sounds like the Smiths. I want to hear the Smiths.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, that's the other reason that's why I was all into Rhapsody until Spotify came out.
Yeah. All right. Well, we should wrap it up here. We've gone a little longer than we expected, but we have iDevice picks, and Ken, I don't know if you remembered to come up with a pick, and if you didn't, I'll give you some time and make the other guys go first. How's that?
That sounds fine to me.
All right. Adam, you want to go first?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I got mine ready to go.
I bet you do.
Yeah, you know what it is, right?
I think I do, yeah.
8-Bits came out, that the guys who made Tweety.
Oh, right? you're using mine.
Oh, are you on here? How come I'm not playing you?
I don't know, because I don't use Game Center. Somebody took Mac OS
X. You have to use Game Center with this, don't you?
No, I've got it, but nobody can find me because somebody used Mac OS X for their Game Center account.
Oh, that's lame.
And it wasn't me.
Maybe it's one of your listeners, then you should put out a call. Maybe they're just holding it for you.
I've actually already, I think you can message them, right? Because I challenged them to a game one time, and I said, so. And I never heard anything. So,
yeah.
I don't know what the deal is. But
this might be everybody's pick, yeah.
You're talking about Letterpress, right?
Letterpress, oh, yes. God. A new word game.
Yeah.
Social word game. It yes, very addictive. Goes through Game Center. You actually have to sort of challenge people through Game Center, which that feature I'm hoping gets tweaked a little bit because it'd be nice to not have it go through Game Center. And right now it's having, because there's so many people playing with it, I think Game Center is feeling the crunch. But in essence, what it is it's a letter game, kind of like Boggle. You get a 5x5 square set of tiles, and it's just one-on-one. So you challenge one person, and you just try and make the longest word from the available letters. And they, unlike Boggle, they don't have to be like in a sequence or a line or something like that. So you just use whatever letters you want. You make the longest word. You get 1 point per letter. Fairly simple there. But then what happens is once you've used the letters, they become sort of claimed. They turn to your color and you have those letters. Now, your opponent can also use those letters and sort of steal them from you unless you completely surround all of the letters or an individual letter, sort of lock it in. And in that case, those letters are still available for your opponent to use, but they don't get any points for using them. So you can sort of block them out of points. And so it's this back and forth on points. And once all of the letters have been used, that ends the game. So fairly straightforward, but also fairly complex strategy.
Yeah,
it was funny. I've been doing pretty well until I played Ted Landau. Jeff, you'll like this. And I was doing okay, but then I realized he had this great strategy where he just started locking every letter. Like, he would find words that would lock the letter, so I couldn't score back any points. And he just sort of went from one corner of the board to the other corner of the board and then finished me off. It was a very long game, though, so it was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Michael T. Rose actually said, who, of course, works for TUAW, said on Twitter the other day, I think it was, playing with his writer friends made the game much more difficult.
and my new least favorite phrase is waiting for turn.
Yeah.
Because it is turn-based.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that kind of drives me crazy. But I haven't done the thing yet that I did when we were all playing. What was the drawing game that we were all playing for like 10 minutes?
Draw Some.
Yeah. When Draw Something was out, I mean, I just ran 6 games.
Yeah.
And I haven't done that with this game yet because I think it would drive me mad.
Oh, I have. I have about 10 games going right now. And I'm became instantly addicted, and I'm loving it. So it's a great game. It's free, although 99 cents to unlock some additional features like the ability to go back and look at the word list. Oh, that's the other thing. You can only use a word once, and you can't use, you know, the plural. It doesn't count of the
word. As another word.
Yeah.
So
Can I go ahead and do mine? Because I've got one that sort of builds on that in kind of a word way.
Sure. I got a question, though, first about this.
Oh, sorry. Go for it. My apologies.
It's cool. Notifications on it. Do you get push notifications, Adam, when it's your turn?
Through Game Center, because it's all through Game Center. You have to run it through Game Center.
It is running through Game Center, but I don't think I'm getting push notifications about it. Or does it only show up if I go into Game Center?
Well, it should come up in your standard notification system in iOS if you set up notifications for Game Center.
Maybe I turned it off. Oh, probably turned it off because I put it in my Dookie folder. Those are all the apps I don't care for. All right, Ken?
Well, there's a game. It reminded me, Letterpress, is that what it was called? I'm sorry.
Yep. Yes.
It reminded me of a game that I've been playing called Spell Tower.
Yeah.
I think Spell Tower is like 99 cents, maybe, but it was being given away free at Starbucks one week as their, you know, their pick of the week thing. And it's kind of fun. I mean, it's because like Boggle, you do have to make things that sort of go in order, but they can go backwards, forwards, left, right, or diagonal. And you can make sort of like long shapes that end up coming up to a word, too. And you're just, I mean, I only play the tower mode, which is just basically where you try to clear them all off the board, but they have a few different modes, like they have a puzzle mode or a timed mode and things like that. I want to say it's 99 cents. I'm not 100% certain, but it's kind of a fun game, and it's not turn-based. So if you're just looking for a game to play by yourself where you don't have to wait for somebody else, but the same kind of word game, the same kind of, same type of thing, it's a fun game, and it was also fairly addictive for me for a while. I mean, I will be honest, I have moved on to Letterpress, but if I don't want to sit around and wait for somebody else.
Looks like good training. I might buy this. It's $1.99.
Yep. It's $1.99? Okay.
Yeah, it is a cool little game.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. But again, it's not quite the same thing. I mean, the one thing that's sort of freeing about Letterpress is you can just look at the whole board and pick whatever letters you want to, and it doesn't matter where they are on the board.
Right.
Whereas Spell Tower is very much they have to be contiguous. But it's a fun game. And apparently you can play against somebody. I don't know, but I never have. I've always been, yeah, there's a multiplayer option too, but I've always just played the game by myself.
Cool. Jeff, what is your pick this week?
Oh, my turn. Okay. My pick this week, since we're all kind of in a casual fun mode with our picks, Star Trek comics. And so it's part of that whole Comics X network thing, but it's a specific app just for the Star Trek comics. And it's free. And it's really nice because when you want to get your Star Trek fix in comics, you don't have to filter through the entire database of all the comics, because they have apps for Marvel and DC and Star Trek, and it's so anyhow, it's cool and it's free. And I will throw in a bonus with that. There's the Star Trek Next Generation Doctor Who crossover series that's happening right now, and it's the first actual official crossover comic.
Oh.
And it's loads of fun.
What is it called?
Okay, so the app is Star Trek Comics, and the Star Trek Doctor Who crossover is called Assimilation Squared.
And is that part of the app?
Yeah, you can download it in the app. It's like, I think, like $3 an issue, but you can get a bunch of free comics through the app as well.
Gotcha.
And how is the Doctor Who Star Trek crossover?
I'm really enjoying it.
Okay.
It has a mixture of artist styles depending on the issue you're looking at. And so some of the panel renderings in one of the issues, I was like, man, someone should have actually like taken the time to draw something, because it just, so there's a point where it felt a little sloppy just for the art, but I'm really enjoying the series, and just the kind of back and forth thing with having Captain Picard deal with the 11th Doctor and Amy and Rory. That's fun.
Oh,
and
sorry.
Oh, I know you're not an 11th Doctor fan.
No, I miss Amy and Rory already.
Oh, yeah. I miss them too. Yeah. But anyhow, it's cool. And so it's this whole thing about the Cybermen and the Borg teaming up to take over our galaxy.
Interesting.
Yes. And just how all of that comes together is very, very interesting. Especially because we already have canon in Doctor Who that establishes Star Trek as a fictitious storyline.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And they make it work, though.
Cool.
Huh.
All right. It's called Star Trek Comics, and it's free.
Yes. And Assimilation Squared, it's like $3, maybe $4 an issue.
Awesome.
And it's cool.
So my pick this week is called Songza. And what this does for you, it's a music application that will play... It's ad-supported music, but there are no audio ads. And the big draw for this app is that a lot of times I'm sitting in my room or going to drive somewhere and I want to listen to some music, but I don't really know what I want to listen to. I just know what mood I'm in and I want to hear some music that works well for that mood. And so Songza perfectly facilitates music in that way. So what happens is when you open it up, you get the concierge and it says, hey, it's Wednesday night. Play music for, and it gives you a series of categories. And let me see what categories it's offering for me right now in the concierge. So it's Thursday evening, play music for unwinding, working out, working, and it says with lyrics. Evening commute, playing video games or eating dinner. You know, if you change it to like Friday night, it'll probably say something like romance and pre-gaming and strutting down the runway and a sweaty dance party. So I'll pick sweaty dance party. And what do we have here? So we get, and then it gives you six more categories to choose from, like 90s dance, fun and eclectic mixes, underground, house and techno. I'll pick the house and techno. And then it gives you three different playlists. And these playlists are curated by who they say are music experts and aficionados who create these playlists. And so you just choose one of the playlists that fits along with that mood that you're looking for, and then it just plays you a bunch of music. And like I said, there are no audio ads, so the ads just show up at the bottom and you can skip forward and tell it what you do and you don't like. And so it actually has an option to play music for you that is based upon your likes. So that's cool. You don't have to use the concierge. You can explore. You can say, I'm doing an activity, say I'm barbecuing, then you can choose from a bunch of different barbecue mixes, dance party, house party, making out, whatever, you know, anything you need is in here. And you can also look through just random playlists. So, really the big draw is the whole mood based playlist. And so far it's really cool because I hear music that I, most of the time, I have not heard, but at the same time, it works very well for what I'm after. Because a lot of times if I'm listening to like Pandora or even with Spotify has the great radio feature where you can say, I want to listen to something, related to the 88 or whatever. And then five songs later, it's going to start playing some Linkin Park. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me. So Songza does a much better job at maintaining the mood of the music rather than the genre. And it's free. So check it out.
Songza?
Yep.
Okay.
And they just put out an iPhone 5 compatible version, so it's nice and tall now.
Very cool.
Yep.
Awesome.
So with that, you can find all the iPhone picks and show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. You can send your feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. You can find Jeff Gamet at the Mac Observer. He's at jgamet on Twitter. And zazzle.com/jgamet is where you can find his drawings on many a thing, such as shirts and hats, as well as the We Have Communicators mug.
That's right.
Thanks for being
here. Go buy stuff.
What's that? Yeah, go buy stuff. Can you put it on a shirt, the We Have Communicators logo?
I think so. Do you want me to go set it up so people can just go pick that out?
Yeah, see if you can do that.
All right, I'll go set up a shirt.
I noticed that there was a message in my inbox that someone said, hey, people, Jeff should do that. And I never got around to telling you that, so maybe people
would
like that.
All right, well, now I've been told, so I'll make it happen.
Okay. Ken Ray is at the macOS Ken podcast. It's macosken.com.
Yes, and another podcast, Mission Log, Roddenberry Star Trek podcast to go along with these Star Trek comics.
I forgot about that. Is it missionlog.com?
Yeah. Sorry?
What's the website?
Missionlogpodcast.com.
All right.
Or available on iTunes, of course.
Yep. And you also write macOS Condensed for the Mac Observer.
I kind of do. And it magically happens. It magically happens as far as I'm concerned.
Cool.
But yeah. Hey. Yeah, so that is there too. Throw a rock and you might hit me.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for being here, Ken. It's always great to have you.
Thank you very much for asking, sir.
And Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, MacCast.com. He's at MacCast on Twitter, and he's got the member show at member.maccast.com.
Yes, sir, Bob. And I just did a show. Actually, Jeff and I should plug this because you were on that show, right, too, Jeff, the Mac Roundtable?
Oh, right. Yeah, that was earlier this week.
Yeah. So if people want to catch up with that. And then I also want to mention that once a month, usually the first Friday of the month, I do a recording with the UK Mac podcast on the British Tech Network. So,
oh, cool.
Branching out a little bit.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And if you have not yet gotten your invite to give Appler a try, go ahead and send an email to michael@getappler.com. Of course, the website is getappler.com to check it out. It's still in beta right now, private beta for just We Have Communicators people. I'm hoping to expand it to a larger demographic soon once I've gotten all the little bugs hammered out that a lot of people have been giving me feedback on. It's great to have that. And in addition to just having you be able to get an invite to Appler, I'm allowing people who, again, are We Have Communicators listeners to also pass along an invite or two to their friends, so you get the social stuff started off, so you don't have to worry about only following me and Adam and Jeff and Ken. So you can also follow your friends too. But they are also on there, which is very cool. So with that, I'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No.
Yuck.
No.
Yuck, yuck,
no. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them.
Yuck, yuck. Yuck, yuck,
no.
Yuck, 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 yuck,
no.
Yuck,
no.
Yuck, yuck,
no.
No,
no, no, no. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants.
wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers. Our fingers. Communicator. An iPod. A phone. Are you getting it? An iPod. A phone. An iPod. A phone. An internet communicator.